Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
A conversation we had with Horatia McCarthy Naidu McCarthy, is brought to you by Alan Gray. Helping you secure your future was brought to you by Alan Gray. 50 years of long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
It's my house!
It's my house on Kaya Biz.
It's 6:54. I hope you're taking notes this evening because we're moving from one asset class to the next with a slew of really insightful guests helping us. We've gone from ETFs to the markets updates, all the way to retirement and now to our houses and helping us understand a little bit more about the resilience we're seeing in the South African property market. Joining me now is Estiani Marks, head of real estate at Lightstone. Lightstone has been on the show before, giving us fantastic insight, comprehensive data analytics and systems on property, automotive and business assets. And their perspectives are very, very helpful. Estiani, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Hiya, thanks for having me again.
Certainly. All right, so it's looking very positive here. Somewhat positive. I mean, I think the headline looks very strong, but the data, I just wanted to work through with you a little bit. The view of Lightstone at the moment is that at least there's some resilience, even though we are seeing that both volumes and the value of housing has dipped somewhat in the first half of 2024.
Yes, I think it's always good to look at property transactions over a little bit of a longer period to understand, you know, where does it come from, where is it going. And I think if we look back at 2019 or the end of 2019 and sort of the 2020 COVID year, we saw a big dip in real estate numbers for obvious reasons. 2021 was a nice bounce back in the market. So there's this nice numbers coming through, volumes, values, and that holds into 2022. But then, you know, the interest rates started to increase quite a bit towards the end or to end of the COVID period. And naturally, I think that also, you know, resulted in a little bit of a decline in the number of properties registered in 2023. And then also with the election year, I think there was also an element of people not having enough confidence, you know, to make those big financial decisions in terms of purchasing property. So, yes, we have seen a little bit of a decrease in the number of transactions going through, especially since 2022. But I think there's other positive signs, though, that the market is highlighting to us, than just the numbers.
Correct. Mm. Amongst those is a seeming, as you say, recovery in on a month-to-month basis, at the very least, in first-time home buying, which looks quite healthy, and that they're up on at least H1 2020, first half of 2023 rather, and first and second half of 2023, which. Yeah, in a higher rate environment and now hopefully dipping a little bit more into the end of 2024 and into 2025 should be positive.
Definitely. You know, you've had other discussions prior to this one around asset classes. And I think, you know, real estate is still is an asset class, obviously. So people still have the opportunity to use that as an investment. And, you know, I think as with any other asset class, you need to do your homework. You need to do it well. There's areas, obviously, that are doing very well. There's price bands that are doing very well. So, you know, yes, real estate altogether or property altogether may not, at the moment perform so well from a global scope. But there's areas certainly that I think, you know, if you are doing your homework correctly, you will be able to find those golden, you know, nuggets, as we call them.
One of the things that is a very interesting golden nugget to me, and I would love your insight on this, is the price band of 0 to 250,000 rand, which did exceptionally well in the first half of 2024. Can you give us a sense of the nature of those pieces of property? Are those flats, and is it in particular areas of the country that we saw that do well?
Yeah, so I think mostly would be, those would mostly be freehold properties, but in specific areas.
Gotcha.
And you know, I think obviously in that specific price band, the access to property is easier, if
yes.
I can call it that way, you know. So I think that's also why there's a good opportunity for people to look at that specific price band or properties in that price band. There's also a good return that
yes.
those properties are actually, you know, obtaining on a monthly basis and annual basis. Obviously, I think there's risk in any type of property, so you need to understand exactly where they are based and located and understand the risk that may be a part of those specific properties. But yeah, for me, it's probably the access to it, because, you know,
gotcha.
As property prices increases, the cost obviously to acquire those properties also increases, which makes it a little bit more difficult to enter that market. So yeah, I think that's probably where, you know, or the one of the main reasons why it has done so well in the first quarter, specifically of 2024.
Speaking of those differences between sort of estates, freehold, sectional title, what do you think are the key drivers there? Is there a social drive, not just price, right? South Africans moving into spaces of safety, maybe a greater ownership of elder people who are now empty nesters. Are there any sort of socioeconomic underpins that you're picking up in those trends?
So I would say that in, you know, the sectional scheme space have always been sort of marketed as a lock up and go opportunity. So I think that still holds, because, you know, at the end of the day, there's mutual responsibility in a sectional title environment. So you can literally lock up and go. Somebody else is looking after the gates and the geysers and the roofs and the, you know, so it's, I think that is one element that obviously draws a certain type of person that wants that kind of freedom. And also the price class in many instances are a little bit lower than what you would get naturally in an estate, as an
sure.
example. So yes, I think people would opt for, and it's in many instances, it's also a little bit smaller than what you would typically get in a freehold estate. So I think that's the one or two things that people are looking at, you know,
yes.
thinking about buying sectional schemes or in a sectional scheme. And then estates are more, you know, it's almost like a lifestyle that those estates are providing you. You know, it's gone into, some of these estates are actually providing you everything that you
Such
may possibly
sweet.
Need on a
Absolutely.
Daily basis. You don't need to even leave the estate, you know. So it's an absolute lifestyle choice. And also providing you a good returns in most instances, because people are getting a sense of better security in estates specifically. And that naturally also then drives demands a little bit more, which increases price. So in my opinion, I think those are the two, I don't want to say differences, but the two things, different things that people are looking at in making that specific choice towards sectional scheme or estates.
Gotcha. Now provinces, the ongoing battle of the immigrants. It's so interesting, because I think the prevailing rhetoric is everyone's going to the Western Cape. Everything is much, you know, much bigger at the West, or increasing at the Western Cape. Everyone from Gauteng is moving to the Western Cape. But actually, Gauteng remains the largest market provincially, and the one that's seeing a mass, probably the only increase, actually, Eastern Cape slide, but increase in volume as a province, and still very strong in value. What is it that we're getting wrong in our rhetoric to make that assumption, by the way, that incorrect assumption?
Sure. I think, you know, the assumption is probably there because people, maybe it's because people moving towards the Western Cape, which, you know, portray sort of the lifestyle choices that they have in moving to that areas.
Sure.
You know, obviously the Western Cape has got many nice features, nice areas to live in, nice things to showcase. And people naturally would want to, you know, elevate those a little bit more. Not so much in Gauteng. I mean, I'm just thinking the landscape is not something that people we talk about moving to Gauteng. But as you said, you know, from a property perspective, there is still majority of sales is still happening in Gauteng. The majority of real estate is still within Gauteng. So, yeah, I'm not sure why
we get,
you know,
it
people
wrong.
Would have, yeah, would get the perception that majority of people are moving to the Western Cape. I don't know.
Maybe
if I do look at people moving to the Western Cape as an example, what we did track is to understand, you know, people moving towards the Western Cape, where are they mainly coming from?
Yeah.
And then also people leaving the Western Cape, which is proportionally much smaller than people migrating to the Western Cape. But, you know, it's interesting to see that majority of people actually moving to the Western Cape does come from Gauteng.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a sense of, you know, in the Gauteng area, we don't have the ocean, we don't have the mountains, and maybe that's something that draws people towards a different scenery.
Yeah, I think service delivery is sometimes raised anecdotally. But I think the major thing that we're also missing here is Western Cape has very high sticker prices in very particular areas, but that doesn't mean everybody moving to the Western Cape is going to buy that 50 million rand Bantry Bay house. I think that part is overstated.
No,
do you know
not.
What I mean? I think that part is overstated, but actually there's very normal property pricing in other areas. Whereas Gauteng has got really, really strong parts of the real estate market in a range of neighborhoods as opposed to this concentrated sort of Miami style area.
No, definitely.
And just tell me, Johnny, what is your expectation, you know, of how things will probably move in the second half of 2024? We spoke a little bit about the driving factors, the lowering of interest rates, or at least moving into a cutting, being in a cutting cycle now, which I imagine will give a great deal more confidence. The confidence of a more stable governing party, set of governing parties, rather. We're hearing about that confidence as it comes through from all the way from management of major listed companies to people who are managing stocks on the stock market. There seems to be this confidence. Do you think that might impact the real estate market in the half year ahead?
So my personal opinion would be yes, although I don't think it will be to the extent that we would want it to be, because, you know, the cutting of interest rates is definitely a driving factor. But I think if we were to get a little bit more aggressive cutting of interest rates, yes, it would make a bigger difference. So 0.25, if you can imagine, you know, the difference that'll make to a million rand house purchase, or a 1.4 million, which is the average house price, it's not significant. So I think people will still, at this point in time, hold on a little bit longer, especially if you think about the buyer's market that we currently have in some areas and then a seller's market. But, you know, so landlords or property owners may want to hold on a little bit longer to see, can I not get a little bit more for my property,
price,
you know, whereas buyers are also saying, okay, so 0.25 cut, what are we expecting the interest rate cuts to be in the next 6 to 12 months? Because that will ultimately, I think, help drive the decision, yes, do I purchase or do I not purchase? So I think it is definitely a positive sentiment to the market, but I think it will be a little bit of a slower turn than what we would naturally want to get. Although at least a turn in the right direction, that would be my sense, at least at the moment.
And a bit of patience on both the selling and buying side. No, don't come with too many cheeky offers.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's not that kind of space where people are kind of desperate to move.
Yes.
And also, I'm with you. Okay. Well, that's a good sign, I think, in general for the economy.
No, definitely. And, you know, in the real estate market, there's always opportunity. If it's not in the seller's market or buyer's market, it's in the rentals market. So,
correct.
You know, yes, when there's not a lot of property sales happening, it seems like the rental market does very well. So, yeah, there's always, I think it's a very vibrant market either way. And as I always believe, you know, people need to stay somewhere. And whether it's upgrading or downgrading, there should always be a need.
Absolutely.
To some extent.
And that makes it a unique amongst all the asset classes for sure. Estiani, thank you so much. Estiani Marks is head of real estate at Lightstone, giving us some really enlightening information about what we've seen over the past half year as compared to the previous two halves, the first and second of 2023.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.